Okay, so let's unpack this. Welcome to our deep dive into, well, some really wild historical military archives and recent journalistic reports that we've gathered for you today.
Yeah, we are basically tracking the pretty crazy evolution of operational security, or OPSCSU.
Right, our mission today is to look at how we went from this massive World War II analog censorship machine to a modern digital catastrophe.
It is just a staggering contrast when you look at it.
I mean, back in the 1940s, protecting the most heavily guarded secrets meant physically controlling literally millions of pounds of paper.
Right, and silencing local weather forecasts, which we will get to.
Yeah, but fast forward to 2025, and a highly classified military operation gets accidentally broadcast to a journalist because of, like, a clumsy thumb in an iPhone group chat.
Exactly. And to really grasp how far we've fallen here, you have to understand the sheer mechanical logic of analog secrecy during World War II.
Oh, it was a total logistical nightmare. I mean, the military processed over 1 billion items of mail between 1942 and 1945.
Which led to them inventing V-mail, or Victory Mail. They would take 150,000 letters, which normally weighed over 2,500 pounds, and shrink them.
Right. They shrank them down to just 45 pounds using 16-millimeter microfilm, which is essentially the 1940s version of creating a zip file.
That is a great way to put it. And while saving cargo space was the main goal, the secondary security benefit was just massive.
Because by photographing the letters and destroying the original paper, they completely thwarted invisible ink, right?
Exactly. And more importantly, that tiny format made it physically impossible for spies to use microdots.
Oh, wow. Yeah, microdots were insane. Spies would literally shrink a whole page of text to the size of a typed period and glue it over punctuation.
But if the military destroys the original paper to make the V-mail, they destroy the dot along with it.
That makes total sense. And they took it even further with the weather curve, right? Like, newspapers and radios were banned from sharing exact weather.
Yeah, you couldn't say it was 40 degrees. You were forced to use vague terms like much cooler.
Because if a soldier wrote home complaining about heavy rain, an enemy analyst could cross-reference that to triangulate their exact location.
Precisely. They controlled the physical objects and they controlled the environment.
But wait, let me push back on this for a second. If the military was so paranoid they censored local weather forecasts, how did the real deadly secrets still get out?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, that is the inherent flaw in physical systems. They are rigid, but human ego easily bypasses them.
Right. The humans are always the weak link.
Always. In 1943, Congressman Andrew J. May had high-level access and casually revealed to the press that Japanese depth charges were set too shallow.
Oh, so he basically did the 1943 equivalent of, like, tweeting classified intel for clout.
Pretty much. It had previously allowed U.S. submarines to dive deep and escape, but once the Japanese heard about his press leak, they adjusted.
Wow, completely invalidating all that microfilm infrastructure we just talked about.
Yes, and it reportedly cost the U.S. 10 submarines and 800 sailors.
That's just devastating.
It is. And this identical human error happens today just infinitely faster.
Because the burden of security shifted.
Yeah.
Right? It used to sit on the shoulders of giant institutions filtering physical mail.
But today, that entire burden rests directly on the individual and their smartphone.
Which brings us to the complete erosion of institutional discipline. The whole SignalDrake disaster from this past March.
Right. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz creates a chat on the Signal app called Healthy PC Small Group.
Yeah, for coordinating airstrikes in Yemen, Operation Rough Rider. He intended to add NSC spokesman Brian Hughes.
But Walz had previously saved the phone number of Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor of The Atlantic, under Hughes's contact entry.
So the iPhone's contact suggestion feature basically said, "Hey, I see you're typing Brian. Did you mean this other guy?"
And Walz just tapped it, a simple, careless screen tap.
So he accidentally adds a major journalist to a highly classified chat, and Goldberg just sits there watching live updates.
Including Pete Hegseth posting F-18 and MQ-9 Reaper flight schedules.
And the craziest part, Hegseth literally typed, "Weather is favorable."
Which is an incredibly ironic echo of those World War II weather bands we just talked about.
It is completely wild. The exact same data point they fought so hard to conceal in 1943 is being voluntarily typed into a commercial app by the highest levels of government.
It is a direct collision between frictionless consumer interface design and military security.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me, though. Does using an encrypted app actually give us a false sense of security when the biggest vulnerability is just a clumsy thumb.
Absolutely. We've handed military-grade encryption to a user interface that actively tries to auto-complete our sentences and guess our friends.
Right, the app didn't fail. The human just failed to verify a suggestion.
The mechanics of secrecy have changed entirely, but our cognitive blind spots remain exactly the same.
And that is the crucial takeaway for you listening today. All the encryption in the world cannot save you from a basic UI mistake.
Security ultimately comes down to human discipline, no matter the era.
Exactly. So think back to that incredibly guarded secret we started with. If the highest levels of government can accidentally broadcast a classified airstrike to a journalist because of an auto-corrected contact, how easily could your own most guarded personal data be permanently exposed by a single careless screen tap?